Good to see you here on New Year's night. And remember, our theme for 2025 is praise and gratitude. So let's spend the year praising God. Amen. Because he's certainly worthy of it, as we saw Sunday morning. The sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks. How often? Anybody remember? Continually. Amen? Continually we're to be praising God and thanking God. So here in Colossians 3, God was talking about putting on the new man, putting off the old man. Remember, Colossians is a very practical book about the Christian life, the Christian walk, growth, and so forth. And we looked at this passage, verses 12 to 16, earlier about what God wants when it comes to how we should treat one another. But it's a very fitting passage as we look ahead to a new year. Well, I guess we don't. It's already here. But as we think about the coming new year, what does God want from us? And so in verses 12 to 16, put on therefore. So remember, talked about the old man, talked about the new man. These are the things God says, put on these things. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Tonight I'm just going to call it, because it's New Year's Day, choose. We need to choose these 10 things for 2025. Lord, use your word now to teach and grow us, to speak to us personally, convict where needed, encourage, comfort, and just remind about what kind of child you want us to be. And I pray, Lord, that it would be an amazing year of serving you, trusting you, watching you work miracles as we wait for your return. So may you be glorified and guide us tonight. In your truth, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So in 2025, let's choose compassion. Amen. The world's lost compassion, hasn't it? It's just not there anymore, but this mercies word is also translated compassion in other parts of the King James. The same Greek word, it means deep feelings, these bowels. It says bowels of mercies. It means deep feelings of compassion. 1 Peter 3:8, if you want to turn there, is a cross-reference. So if your fingers can't keep up, just listen. Or if you're taking notes. But we'll try to get through all these cross-references rather quickly tonight. But 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Compassion one of another. Many times our flesh is tempted to not be compassionate, especially if it's someone that we don't necessarily get along with or don't like. It happens. We're still to be compassionate. Amen? So let's choose compassion. Number two, verse 12, let's choose kindness. We shouldn't even have to say it. But sadly, often Christians don't even realize that they're being controlled by the devil, and hatefulness comes out, which is the opposite of kindness. And it's never acceptable with God. It's a sin. Let's choose kindness. You know, God has been so kind to us, it should be easy for us to be kind to one another. That's how it's supposed to work. Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind one to another. Amen. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. But be ye kind one to another. Number three, verse 12, choose humility. Notice it says humbleness of mind. We all have a weakness, and that is we think we're better than we are. It's part of being a sinner, part of being a human. Truth is, we're wicked sinners saved by grace, and we should never let pride rule in our hearts. We should always choose the path of humility, of, as it says in Romans 12:10, preferring one another, putting others first, always take the humble route as opposed to the prideful route. Number 4, verse 12, choose meekness. Meekness is something we just don't see like we used to in the old days. But you know what? Our Savior was meek and lowly in heart. Matthew 11:28. And he was God in the flesh. He came to be our example. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another. That's meekness. Putting others first. Number 5, choose long-suffering. That could also be translated, and it is sometimes patient. And I'm sure no one here has a problem with their patience, but 1 Thessalonians 5:14 is our cross-reference if you want to turn there. I should have turned us to the other ones. I just quoted them. I'm sorry. From now on, we're going to turn. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. Patient. Many of these, by the way, are fruit of the Spirit. So as we're leaning on the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, many of these are possible, but only through God. But choose long-suffering. And then a very similar one, number 6, choose forbearance. Look, it says, forbearing one another. We're to forbear the faults of others. Now, I know there's a few people that think they don't have any faults, but they'll be shocked when they get to the judgment seat. But we're to forbear one another. Look at Ephesians 4:2 as our cross-reference. What does it mean? It means literally to put up with. Everyone learns forbearance when they get married. That's just part of marriage, isn't it? We learn to put up with the faults of our spouse. You know, if we didn't, then all we would do is fight and not get along. But we learn, yes, my spouse isn't perfect. And we forbear those things. Over time, they even become things that we're so used to, they're part of why we love the person. But yeah, you young ones don't understand that yet. But Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Amen? Forbearance. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens. So number 6, let's choose forbearance in 2025. Let's choose mercy and compassion, choose kindness, choose humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance. But 13 is the most important. Or second most important, sorry, according to the passage. Most important is charity. But choose forgiveness. That's the heart of Christianity. Because the alternative is bitterness, which is a wicked sin. God hates it. He hates it so much he gave us the parable of the unmerciful servant to teach us how much he hates unforgiveness or bitterness, which is what unforgiveness turns into. But our passage is Mark 11:25. We can turn there. Mark 11:25. When you stand praying, what? Forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. God hates unforgiveness. Holding grudges is a sin. Recounting hurts is a sin. It's not complicated. God even told us in Colossians 2:13, if you want to turn there, just a chapter earlier, how much he forgave us. Look at that last phrase. Having forgiven you, what? All. Amen? All trespasses. Isn't that good? And then God says, as Father hath forgiven you, even so do ye. So there's our measure of forgiveness. All. No exceptions. God forgave all, we're to forgive all. And trust me, If there's anything I've heard repetitiously more than anything else in counseling in the past 30 years, it's been, but you don't understand what they did to me. It was so bad, there's no way I can forgive. That is not true. It's just not true. That's not Christianity. Christianity, we always forgive because God forgave all. That was number 7. So number 8, according to the passage, is above all these things. So it's number 1, choose charity. Choose charity. God calls it the bond of perfectness. Wow. That's quite a bond, isn't it? The bond of perfectness is what? Charity. Jesus said in John 13:34, by a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Well, what made that new? It's not new yet. Not until he said, as I have loved you. Amen. Now it's new.
That's right.
It was just love your neighbors yourself. Now it's love one another as Jesus loved us. Sacrificial, unconditional love. And then he goes in the next verse 35, by this one thing, and I'm adding the one thing, shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. So choose charity. The bond of perfectness. 1 Corinthians 12:25 said the members should have the same care one for another. Galatians 5:13, serve one another. James 5:16, pray for one another. That's putting charity into action, isn't it? Which we all know it is action. It's what we do. It's not what we think or feel. So choose charity, which is above all these things, according to the passage. And number 9, verse 15, choose peace. Now, this is not talking about the peace of God that rules our hearts when we trust Him and when we commit all of our burdens to Him, like we're told in Philippians chapter 4, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. That's not this peace. And it's not world peace, because that's not coming until the Prince of Peace. This is peace. This is getting along with each other. How do we know this? To the which also you are called in one body. So there he makes it clear that he's talking about peace within the body. Another word would be unity. That, by the way, that's something the devil hates. He hates unity in a local church, and he's going to try to attack it however he can. And he's always going to use people to do it. But when there are grudges, when there's unforgiveness, when there's bitterness, when there's hatefulness, when there's any of these other things that we've talked about, there's not unity and there's not peace. God says we need peace. Be of the same mind one to another, he says in Romans 12:16. Romans 12:18, live peaceably with all men. So choose peace. Choose whatever it takes to have peace. And then lastly, choose gratitude, which is our theme for 2025. Praise and gratitude. That's what we're going to choose this year as our theme, is to praise God. Now let's look at our passage from Sunday morning in Hebrews 13 quickly. Hebrews 13 down in verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Amen. Continually. God says it's a sacrifice. He goes on to say it's well-pleasing at the end of verse 16. Such sacrifices, God is well-pleased. The sacrifice of praise. Choose gratitude. We're told in the Bible what to be thankful for. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. If we would choose these 10 things, it's going to be a banner year for our Christian life. That's the bottom line. If we would choose compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and long-suffering and forbearance and forgiveness, charity and peace and gratitude, sky's the limit for how God can use us. And then he reminds us in verse 16, One of the ways this is possible is not only to be yielded to the Spirit of God, because many of these are part of the fruit, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But it always comes back to the Word of God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Are we told to let the Word of God dwell in us? Yes. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Right? Psalm 119:11, Deuteronomy 6:6. We could go on and on about God reminding us that we need the Word of God in our hearts. And we need to be yielded to the Spirit of God so that we can yield the fruit of God. So in 2025, this is a huge calling. 10 things is a lot. But if we want to have a good year, let's choose these 10 things. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this passage again, and just reminding us tonight, Lord, that you haven't been ambiguous about what you want from our behavior. And I pray, Lord, we'll take these things seriously and strive to be like our Savior and to be this kind of Christian and choose these virtues. Thank you so much for speaking to us.